Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name's Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick, and bells are ringing, but they are the bells of doom, because today we're going to start off with some responses to our rerun of the Krampus episode from a few years ago. Are you ready to jump in, Rob?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so this message comes to us from Colleen. Colleen says, hi, I listened to your episode about Krampus the other day and since then have seen several posts about it/him/her on Facebook. Unfortunately, I missed the event, but here's a story from NOLA.com. So I guess Colleen must live somewhere around the New Orleans area, and she attached a link to a NOLA.com article by Doug McCash from December 6th, 2020 that I looked up and was pretty great. So I want to read some parts from this article. You ready, Rob?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the article begins. A reverse parade took place in Gentilly on Saturday night. Instead of costumed marchers passing a curbside crowd, 80 performers cavorted on the side of the long, curving driveway at the New Orleans Recreation Development Commission headquarters on Franklin Avenue, while a steady stream of 400 cars rolled slowly past. It was a Christmastime event with a twist, because the star of the show wasn't Santa, it was Krampus. So apparently New Orleans has been having Krampus events since maybe 2017 or so.
Yeah, this was something we talked about in the Krampus episode. We talked about sort of the Krampus revival that has been sweeping the world. Mm-hmm. And in particular, I think at the time, this was in 2019, I had just come back from New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Because up until 2020, for several years there, it was my family's tradition to go down, visit some family in southern Mississippi, and then go over to New Orleans for a couple of days, you know, go to Beach Bum Berries, get a tiki drink, etc. And at the time, I remember seeing, like, oh, there's going to be a Krampus parade. Oh, and it either begins or ends, I forget which, at this German restaurant that looked pretty interesting. And so I was talking about that in our Krampus episode.
A German restaurant in New Orleans.
Yeah, that's, why not?
Well, yeah, no, okay, I can see it. I mean, New Orleans has amazing restaurants. New Orleans is, if we're ever back in the traveling times, New Orleans is such an amazing city to visit. It's got to be, like, the most unique city in the world, right? I mean, it's just, like,
Yeah. There are a few places like it for sure, especially in the United States. I mean, it is New Orleans is New Orleans.
Yeah. But the annual Crew of Krampus Foot Parade couldn't take to the streets as usual this year because of coronavirus concerns. But founder Mike Assorti, a director of web strategy for the University of New Orleans, and fellow crew members figured out how to conduct a COVID-conscious alternative. The Krampus drive-through parade blended elements of the Yuletide season with Halloween and Mardi Gras. The experience for passing viewers began with rows of dancers from the well-known Pussyfooters Carnival Troupe and a cluster of LED-lit drummers. Then came a lavishly costumed St. Nick surrounded by members of the Crescent City Fae Marching Club, followed by strange snowy witches known as the Silent Sisters of After that appeared one incarnation of Krampus after another, with glowing red eyes, unkempt coats of fur, serpentine tongues, and malevolent intentions. The Christmas tree decorated with human skulls, the bad child pleading to be freed, and the eerie shadow puppet show were all nice touches. I liked the momentum, said automobile-born audience member Gina Murphy. At first you said, ooh, this is going to be fun and light, but then it got heavy quick. And then later in the article, car passenger Carly Frankich said her favorite part of the presentation were the weird fairies. Sure, she said, they were taking souls, but they looked pretty while they were doing it. Frankich's young son, Miro Coates, safe in his car seat, said that the ride had provided a mixture of fun and fright.
This is awesome. I really have to salute the Krampus crew based on this, because I have to say, as it was suddenly Krampus knocked here in 2020, I was initially like, oh, great, it's Krampus time again. And I was like, oh, wait, I hope the Krampuses of the world can handle it, because sometimes, as we discussed in that episode, Krampus traditions can get a little out of hand. They can create the sort of like animalistic, lawless sort of atmosphere that might encourage rule breaking. And I really didn't want that for the Krampus devotees this year. So it's nice to see that the Krampus crew was keeping it safe, but also keeping it authentically disturbingly weird.
You know, I got to say, normally I'm kind of a fan of rule breaking, but I guess not when it's public health rules.
Yeah. And also, with that big tongue and, you know, wide mouth, you know, Krampus needs to mask up if he's actually going to go out among the people. So it's good that there's a car window between what he's doing and what we're doing.
I mean, Krampus is inherently unsanitary. Like, can you imagine Krampus wearing a mask, keeping his distance, wiping down the basket between each child?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, spraying the switches and whatnot.
All right, should we go into this message from Chris?
Yeah, this is Chris. Chris writes in and says, hi, fellas. Just listened to your great Krampus episode. Here's a topic you may find interesting in the future. Many cultures have a creature like Krampus or St. Nicholas that visits every house at the end of the year with different purposes. Gumang from China, Sylvester Claus from Switzerland, Olga Namahange from Japan. Japan has many different hage. Is it hey? I'm not sure if it's hage or hage. But all with the same purpose. And Kukiri from Bulgaria, just a thought. Take care and keep up the great work. Chris.
I wanted to include this email because I had to look up images of what Sylvester Claus looks like. And Sylvester Claus is scarier than any Krampus. At least the versions I found are a guy with some buckles, almost like a Slipknot member number of buckles on his costume. And then foliage all over his body, on the top of his head, like a big wreath of some kind of evergreen limbs. But then just the face of Rattleshirt, just bone lord face with weird bone teeth and googly eyes.
Yeah, I get kind of a sense of a pagan holiday Gwar costume from this.
Yeah.
You know, our next listener mail that our mailbot here has for us also happens to relate to a forest-dwelling bestial creature.
Ah, very nice transition. So this is a straggler message that we found. I think this actually did come in back in October, but this is about our Halloween episode on the Leshy, and it comes from Laura. Laura says, "Hey guys, longtime fan of your show. I recently listened to the Leshy, and I'm taking you up on your offer to share my own, luckily brief, experience of being lost in the woods. It was during a solo through hike of the Pacific Crest Trail. I was halfway through Oregon when a handwritten sign on the trail notified me of a ground nest of wasps up ahead. So I scrambled up the steep mountainside about 10 meters off the densely wooded trail to avoid it. Because of the steepness and thick vegetation, I immediately lost sight of the trail only a few paces into the woods. Not wanting to get stung, I kept moving off a little ways until I felt safe from the hornets and started to parallel the trail. What I didn't realize was that at some point it switched back beneath me and went downhill in the opposite direction that I was traveling. It was only after bushwhacking for 5 minutes that I realized I had missed the trail. Even though I had a sense of where I was on the slope by referencing my map, I could not find the trail. Given the rolling and forested nature of the mountainside, I knew that it would be difficult to know where even my relative position was if I kept moving, and it would be easy to follow the wrong drainage that would take me deeper into the backcountry. So I think the idea there is if you just try to like follow a ditch or a stream or something downhill, it might be leading you down the wrong side of the mountain, I guess. Laura goes on. Once I realized I was lost, I had a wave of panic hit me that had my legs twitching to run as fast as I could. So I tried to calm down and listen for other hikers that might be in the area. Within minutes, I realized that I could convince myself that I heard faint voices in every direction. I think my brain was so desperate for a human voice that it was trying hard to interpret the sounds of the forest as voices. At that point, my reason kicked in, and I did an inventory of my food and water. I had about 2 days' worth, but could stretch it to a desperate week if I didn't move. Knowing that I was probably within earshot of the trail, I knew my best bet was to stay as calm as I could where I was. So, me being a religious person, I got down on my knees and prayed as hard as I could for peace. When I opened my eyes, I told myself that I was going to only move a dozen feet downhill from where I was, so that I could try to find a flatter spot to set up camp, at which point I was going to blow on my whistle and hope that someone would hear me before my food ran out. If I hadn't been found by then, I would activate my personal locator beacon as a last resort. Lo and behold, only about 3 steps downhill had me back on the trail. I was truly terrified for the rest of the day. From that point on, whenever I camped or napped off the trail, I kept one of my trekking poles pointed back towards it. In total, I was only lost for about an hour, and it was by the grace of God and dumb luck that I managed to cross the trail again. I'd considered myself an experienced hiker up until that point, but since then I am humbled by my experience. Laura."
Excellent. I mean, that lines up with a lot of what we were talking about, and also getting into some of the sensory deprivation issues that we didn't really dwell on.
Yeah, it lines up with a ton of the things like from some of those studies about how just people are have trouble anticipating how disorienting being lost in the woods can be. You think not actually being in the situation, oh, it'd be easy, I'd just walk back the direction I came, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it often doesn't work out that way. So glad you found your way back, Laura.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, earlier we mentioned like a straggler email. I do want to drive home. Never hesitate to send us a straggler email. If you listen to an old episode or, you know, even if it's not one that's been featured in the vault and you have something interesting to share, do reach out to us, because especially now that we're taking Stuff to Blow Your Mind listener mail more of a weekly route, we'd love to hear from everybody. We have more space now than ever before to share interesting listener mails with everybody.
Totally. And actually, I think we were straggling on this one, not Laura. So yeah. I think this one came in during October or something, and we missed it until I went back and found it.
Gotcha. Yeah, we managed to trace our way back to the path. All right. Well, as many of you know, we're also putting out these Weird House Cinema episodes on Fridays. It's normally the show is science and culture, but there on Friday evenings, I like to think of it as a midnight Friday showing. We talk about weird movies, and maybe we talk a little bit about science and culture, but mostly it's about the film. So we've heard from people about these episodes, and most of it's been very positive. Here's one that comes to us from Jesse. Okay, guys, you will have to first put up with some gushing. I cannot tell you how much I love you guys and your show. I recommend you at every opportunity. I work a lot in life, and for years now, you guys have turned what would otherwise be excruciating commutes to absolute pleasures. I have wanted to email you just this for a long time, but I figure you get mail like this all the time, so finally, I have a real good reason to write in. I was about to start the dishes when I saw you were covering the battle for Endor, and I almost dropped my phone. Such a random, crazy thing for you to cover, and it happens to be a super important movie to me. Like Robert was saying, I was one of those kids who had it on a recorded VHS. One possible difference being that it was one of only maybe five or six VHS tapes that I had, one of them being Caravan of Courage. I was born in 82, so the Ewoks movies fell perfectly into my wheelhouse, while I was all but ignorant of the Star Wars movies themselves. I must have watched Battle for Endor 100 times, but I didn't notice the reason why I am writing you until recently. Passing the Ewoks movies onto my 4-year-old just this year was such a pleasure. I digress. None of this is why I am writing. I have a really cool little tidbit. See, I am not a Star Wars fan by any real measure, even loving the Ewoks and, of course, having seen all of the Star Wars movies. I also live and grew up in Marin in Lucas Valley. So I do not partake in the meticulous Star Wars fandom, but I do have something that I don't think many people have realized. Battle for Endor is special in that it is the only Star Wars movie that I am aware of that contains a swear word. I looked it up before writing you, and fandom says, fandom, I think they're referring to like the Wikipedia realm. Quote, a rumor circulated that Noah swears under his breath while trying to power up his Star Cruiser during the movie's climax. However, it was debunked in the 89th issue of the Star Wars Insider magazine, which cites the subtitles of 2004's Ewoks The Battle for Endor DVD release as proving that the line is, in fact, ah, come on.
Now, just to be clear, the character Noah we're talking about, for a reminder, is played by Wilford Brimley in the movie. Did we not mention that already?
We did not mention that in this listener mail,
okay.
No.
So imagine, yes, it's Wilford Brimley, and Wilford Brimley is in this scene, like, struggling with the controls of his spaceship that's up on cinder blocks in his yard. He's trying to get it going again.
Yeah. I have to admit, when I watched it, there were a couple of times when I kind of had this feeling like, I feel like things are being said that are very close to curse words, either things that are grumbled by Wilford Brimley's character or things that, you know, are yabbered by Ewoks that, mm-hmm. that are clearly, not supposed to be, English or basic, but certainly sound a little cussy, you know?
Wicket is swearing up a storm, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
But what Jesse is saying here is that It apparently the Star Wars Insider magazine says, no, Wilford Brimley does not swear in this movie. And it's based on the subtitles from one DVD release of this, which I did not know there had been.
Yeah, they're not really readily available right now, but there was like a DVD double pack of these.
Okay, I see. And what they said Wilford Brimley's actual line was, oh, come on.
They continue. However, in the version I have, you can very clearly and naturally hear him saying the F word in reaction to the sparks. It's so funny because it's Wilford Brimley. I invite you to check the version you have at this scene and decide for yourself, though I could easily see the DVD and subsequent releases being quote-unquote fixed. I am not sure this is this is listener mail worthy, but I thought it was at the very least an excuse to give you my thanks and tell you how much you two can really mean to someone who doesn't always have a good time. Please keep doing exactly what you were doing, exactly the way you were doing it forever and ever. All my best and keep at it, Jesse. P.S. My favorite episodes are the Boltzmann brain episodes.
Well, thanks so much, Jesse. Really appreciate the kind words. And no, this is absolutely listener mail worthy because we always want to hear about Wilford Brimley swearing in children's movies. It also does seem like the kind of thing that if they ever give this a proper remaster, re-release, they're going to edit it out. And that's just, get out of here with that.
Yeah. But I do hope they make it widely available again, because yeah, a lot of us are nostalgic for this film and its predecessor. And I think it should be out there. I mean, the same with other important Star Wars pieces of media, such as the original Clone Wars animated version that came out prior to the computer animated version. Like that's great fun. And it should be available to people in formats that are not just random YouTube uploads, in my opinion. Somebody did write in and mentioned the Star Wars holiday special, though, and I do have to say I'm cool with that one remaining lost for the most part. I tried to rewatch it this year, and my eyes were bigger than my stomach on that one.
We'll save it. This is coming up in a couple of mails from now.
Okay. We'll talk about it then. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Next one here from Eric. Eric says, hey, Robert and Joe, longtime listener, first time writing in. I wanted to chime in on two recent topics. First, gravy. I was fascinated by the gravy death ritual in the recent turkey episode. Robert mentioned not knowing of any religious ritual involving gravy, but I think, at least for myself, the making of the gravy on Thanksgiving is a spiritual exercise in its own right. This year, due to COVID-19, my wife and I stayed home and didn't cook a whole turkey, so I didn't get to perform my sacred duties. For some, good gravy is all about the giblets, meaning the liver, heart, kidneys, and gizzard, which reinforces Joe's point about gravy being the essence of the animal it's made from. It's a celebration of this awesome bird. Just like a good rare steak can give you that primal zing up the back of your brainstem, the organs of an animal can carry the same effect, and that's why a true giblet gravy is so good. Making gravy is a methodical, ritualistic process with several steps that you have to time properly. It can be stressful. Will there be enough juices? Do I have enough time? Will the roux come out right? But completing each step is a triumph, leading to the transcendent experience of the final product that literally, parentheses figuratively, ties it all together. All the food on your plate and all the people at your table, it can be mind-blowing.
This is a great point.
Okay, yeah.
I was just going to say, just a brief thought here is that, yeah, when food is meaningful, like there are a few things like it, you know? Like it, when food doesn't have meaning, when it's just fast and you're not thinking about it and you're not like really experiencing it, you know, that's one thing. But when you do get to have this real attachment to the organisms that you're consuming and to the practices and the history of what's going into it, yeah, there are a few things like it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, food is obviously so much more than just the experience of eating it, the taste and the nutrition for your body. It's very much a deeply interwoven cultural traditional thing. And this is why, like, if you watch recipe videos on the internet, you'll often see in the comments people freaking out that somebody didn't do it right. You know, mm-hmm. like if you want any Italian recipe or something, people will be saying like, that's not how you make that sauce or something. and you get the sense that it's because people's memories of the traditions of their dishes are often tied up in people's like family and cultural identity to the point where when somebody does it a different way, it almost feels like a violation of some sacred ritual. You're not doing it right, and this is a blasphemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Eric goes on. Before I lose it talking about gravy, here's the other thing. I loved Robert's postulating about the force and the lore of Ewok's Battle of Endor. As a kid, one of the things I loved about Star Wars was that it was fantastic but believable. It felt real, tangible, and immersive. Even the Force, essentially space magic, felt plausible. So when I think of the Ewoks movie, the thing I remember most was what my 7-year-old self was thinking while seeing it. I laugh at how, even then, I was really hung up on things feeling real and believable. I remember taking issue with the horses of all things. Even with no established canon for what the Force can do, I remember thinking that it was too fantastic and magical, that it felt like an Earth movie. Shape-shifting? Magic rings? Turbo-running? Not in Star Wars. It may be a testament to the purity and greatness of the original trilogy that even then, the style and feel of Star Wars had permeated me so thoroughly that my standards as a 7-year-old were really high. Or maybe it's just a funny note on memory. We remember the thing itself less than what we remember thinking about the thing. Thanks for all your good work, Eric.
Oh, well, that's all very interesting. Yeah, I can definitely relate to feeling that way about the magic versus the Force as presented in the Battle for Endor. Though I feel like some viewers had a similar issue in the sequel trilogy, especially The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker, because the Force, suddenly there are sort of new Force abilities that become evident, like physical matter transferring from one point to another in space and time, mm-hmm. stuff like that, which maybe leans even more heavily into the magical interpretation of the Force.
Yeah. When we talked about Ewoks, did we talk about horses? I don't know if I remember that coming up, but yeah, why are there horses? I don't think there were any horses in the original trilogy, were there?
There were not that I remember. No, I don't think there were horses in the original trilogy. Some horses show up in the sequel trilogy, but they've been kind of like augmented with computer effects to make them like alien horses, which is pretty cool. But I don't know. I didn't really have any problem with the horses in the indoor movie. I figure at some point somebody introduced the indoor pony, and it makes as much sense as humans being all over this distant galaxy. So I will allow it.
Okay, do you want to go on to this message from Raj?
Yeah, let's do it. All right, Raj writes, "Hello, Stuff to Blow Your Mind. In the Star Wars edition of Weird House Cinema, you were talking about the notion of Star Wars canon. You mentioned that the three films of the then original trilogy plus the two indoor movies constituted as part of the Star Wars canon, meaning that the two indoor movies make up 40% of the Star Wars films. I am curious about how the Star Wars Holiday Special fits into this. You hadn't mentioned this film in the podcast. I'm not sure it was intentional, since many regard that film to be not good, or if it's something you just happen to forget. I'm not trying to start a fight or anything like that. I'm just wondering if you consider the Holiday Special canon or not. Love the podcast. Cheers, Raj."
I mean, so if the main films are a canon, for me, Holiday Special is like a prime canon. It's like the canon above all other canons. If something doesn't agree with the Holiday Special, then it's not canon.
Which canon grade is mostly circus animals? Because that's kind of the grade I think the Holiday Star Wars Special probably fits in at. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I tried to rewatch this with the riff tracks this year. And I ended up turning away for a couple of reasons. One, I love riff tracks. I love those guys. I think they do great work. But the riff on this one was like an earlier riff and just felt a little mean-spirited a lot of the time. So I didn't love that. It felt like it wasn't having as much fun as it was just kind of grumpy with the picture, which isn't the case in a lot of their other work. Again, I love riff tracks, but
well, the Holiday Special makes people unhappy. I mean, yeah. I've watched it many times and showed it to many people, and it has a tendency to kind of send people into a dark spiral.
I think that is a valid point, because the other part of not digging the experience is that it is dreadfully boring and irritating. With only a few really bright spots. For instance, the introduction of Boba Fett in that wonderful, like, sort of, I think it was a Canadian production, but it has this kind of French animation feel to it. Like, that is a great little segment. I love that.
The cartoon, yeah.
The cartoon. I also enjoy some of the Wookiee stuff, getting to see their home world. because it certainly creates a world, and it is like a setting, like in this small respect, it is canon, because the version of Kashyyyk that they create in this Holiday Special is essentially the same version that pops up again in Revenge of the Sith, that pops up in various video games, such as like the Battlefield, not Battlefield, maybe it is Battlefield, whatever the shooter is that they play. Also the recent Jedi Outcast game, like basically they're all using the same version of Kashyyyk that the Holiday Special gives us.
Yes. I mean, so I've probably seen the Star Wars Holiday Special at least, 10 or a dozen times, but I will admit it is brutally boring and grating. And it has these repeated comedy skits with Harvey Korman that are, yeah, interminable. There's one where where the gag is that he is, I guess, some kind of robot, and he's like repeatedly breaking down and going into slow motion. And that skit lasts about 10 billion years. It is older than the Earth.
The weird thing is that you can look back at it and see how it made sense. Like, I think one of the key things you have to keep in mind is that this was the heyday of the original Muppet Show. And on paper, it sounds great. Like, the Muppet Show's doing this great variety show with puppets and fantastic characters and celebrity cameos. We could do that with the Star Wars universe, and we could do it in a way that wouldn't hurt anybody.
Right. It's B. Arthur and Art Carney.
Yeah. But the result just doesn't really work. There's just so many things wrong with it.
They really should have brought in Tim Conway and Paul Lind. Wait. Okay, here's my idea. They could take it to the next level. They should have just done Hollywood Squares in-universe Star Wars and its canon. So, like, the squares are Chewbacca and Chewbacca's family, the really nasty old Wookiee, Han Solo looking sad, Princess Leia on a mystical journey, like all of them doing the tic-tac-toe.
Yeah, don't forget Luke Skywalker wearing an absurd amount of makeup to where he looks like he's basically in kabuki makeup in that one. It's
huge amounts of makeup. It is astonishing.
However, I will say I might feel differently about it if I had actually watched this back in the day. But the Star Wars Holiday Special is something I wasn't even aware of until I was an adult. So,
Wait. Sorry, I have one more Star Wars Holiday Special thing to bring up, which is that there's a great scene where Han Solo saves Chewie's family by faking out an Imperial stormtrooper who's approaching their house on the, you know, like wooden catwalk, I guess, up to their front door. He fakes him out. The stormtrooper falls over the edge, presumably falls to his death on the ground below the house. And then it's like, hey, problem solved. But if you think about the logic of it, okay, so now the Imperial troops are marching around and there is a dead one of them on the ground below your front door, and they just don't seem to regard this as a problem.
Well, you have to remember the amount of training that your average stormtrooper is probably receiving. It's not great.
They're not really going to be good detectives in that respect.
Right, and plus they're occupying a planet occupied by... where the dominant species are these enormous, fierce Wookiees. So, you know, it makes sense that you're probably losing there's an acceptable loss for stormtroopers per day. And they're just like, well, you know, that guy clearly is an acceptable loss.
All right, we got one more message. This comes in from Ali. Ali says, "Hi, Robert and Joe. I have listened to Stuff to Blow Your Mind for many years and have really enjoyed the podcast. I just finished listening to the Weird House Cinema episode on Ghost in the Machine, and I loved it. I watched the movie over the weekend before listening, and I enjoyed that movie immensely. It was so awesomely bad with so much nostalgic 90s style. I don't know if I ever would have known that that movie existed if you guys hadn't decided to watch it. Well, I'm glad we could bring that weirdness into your life. Over the years, Stuff to Blow Your Mind has taught me so much and got me thinking about so many different things. There was an episode where, if I remember this correctly, you tried to get listeners to remember to fact-check things, especially if the things feel almost right. You guys repeated the phrase, if it feels familiar, check the facts, over and over. And whenever my BS meter goes off or some fact doesn't feel quite right, I hear you two repeating that phrase and it reminds me to look into stuff. Anyway, I just wanted to say hi and thank you. Happy holidays, Ali." I think that was from the Illusory Truth Effect episodes where we talked about the dangers of thinking something is right because it sounds, yeah, that sounds right. That's often the danger zone.
Yeah, for sure. All right. You know, I think we've reached the end of this particular episode of Listener Mail. We have more Listener Mail to do, and we will do that in future episodes. But, you know, I thought I also might just occasionally just throw out a question here to see what everyone out there thinks. One thing that was on my mind is that during 2020, due to the pandemic, I think a lot of us have spent more time by ourselves, perhaps more time with ourselves. So here's a question. What have you learned about yourself in 2020? And then how do you think you're going to bring that knowledge into 2021? If you have any thoughts on that, we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, if you want to check out other episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts, wherever that happens to be. Just rate, review, and subscribe. And I don't even care what order you do those things in. If you can even do them wherever you're listening to this podcast. Sometimes you don't have all of those powers at your disposal. But let us know. Listener mail episodes will continue to go out on Mondays unless we run out of listener mails. And then I guess we'll do something else on a Monday here and there. I don't know. We'll see. It's a grand adventure.
Yeah.
And you guys are along for the ride with us.
We will be having Flaming Barrel chats with or without your help, but we assume the help will keep coming in. Okay, so anyway, huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.